Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Paul's prayer has turned to praise. We have studied the prayer of Paul for the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and following. And then we have come to this incredible hymn of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer is, according grammatically, is actually verses 9 through 20 and includes this hymn of praise to Christ. But many Bible scholars divide it into two parts and say the prayer of Paul is verses 9 through 14, and then the praise of Paul is in verses 15 through 20, and that's fine. I have no quarrel with that. But what we have is one of the most exalted sections concerning Jesus Christ found anywhere in Scripture. When we come into this section, Colossians 1, 15 and following, we are definitely on holy ground. No, actually, we're on holy ground every time we open the Bible, every time we look at any portion of the Word of God, because it is the Word of the living God. It is all His Word. It is all breathed out by God. It is all the words of the holy God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Everything He said is holy. But I tell you what, we are on especially holy ground when we are talking about this wonderful description of Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1. We are told in verse 15 about Christ's nature. We're told He's the exact image of God. He is the image of the invisible God. We're also told in verse 15 about His position, when it tells us that He is the firstborn over all creation, which has to do with rank. He ranks above all the rest of creation. Why is Christ the firstborn? Why is He supreme? Because of His relationship with creation. And what is that? And that takes us into verse 16, which tells us why Jesus is the firstborn. And what we learn is that Christ's role as creator gives Him supremacy over creation. Who would quarrel with that? Christ's role as creator gives Him supremacy over creation. If He made it, then He rules over it. If He made it, then He has the right to rule over it. If He made it, then He ought to rule over it, of course. What else would we expect? And so that's what we're looking at on this Friday, December 11, as we gather together around the Word of God. And we thank you, those of you whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Back to verse 15, and then followed by 16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is the agent of creation. He is the extent of creation. He is the reason for creation. That's what we're told in this incredible text. First of all, He is the agent of creation. And that is made plain by two phrases in this verse. First of all, for by him all things were created. And secondly, all things were created through him. You can't miss that. What about those statements don't you understand? It's been a while now since I've seen one of those billboards, but I used to see them occasionally and chuckle, driving by them on the highway, and I would see something like, what is it about, quote, thou shalt not, end quote, that you don't understand? Yeah, I haven't seen one of those for a long time. But, of course, the problem is not that people don't understand what the Ten Commandments are and the thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. The problem is not that we don't understand what those things mean. The problem is that in our sinfulness, we don't want to be reminded of these commandments of God. Oh, we understand clearly enough what they're saying, but we would rather ignore them. It's not that we don't understand them, it's that we don't embrace them. We don't welcome them. We don't want them. And it's the same thing here. If anybody doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the one who created everything, it's not because they're confused about what the Bible teaches, not if they're reading it, not if they're looking at it, not if they're studying it. They may have been confused by what other people have told them the Bible teaches and have misled them deliberately and distorted the teaching of the Bible and erroneously told them that the Bible says something different from what it says. But anybody who actually looks at the words of Scripture cannot fail to understand that Jesus Christ is the Creator. For by him all things were created, we read, and then it goes on to elaborate, all things that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And then the verse ends with this statement, all things were created through him and for him. All things were created through him. By him all things were created. All things were created through him. What about that? Don't you understand? The person in view, the him, that is H-I-M, the pronoun that is used three times in verse 16, is the he of verse 15, which is the son of the Father's love, verse 13. In other words, the Father's beloved son. Back to verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the son of his love. He is, verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the Son of his love. For by him, the Son of his love, all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. So the person in view is the Father's Son, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told here that he is the source of creation. By him, we read, for by him all things were created. By him, or it could be translated in him. The Greek preposition is en, E-N, which is roughly equivalent, pretty closely equivalent, to our English preposition I-N, in, but it is sometimes translated by, sometimes in. And in this case, by is probably better because by speaks of agency, whereas in speaks of location. But it could be either or both. We have through him, later, through him, all things were created through him, the last part of the verse. That speaks of agency, the by. And so this one might be speaking about location or sphere. In other words, all things were created in him. To begin with, in his mind, and beyond that, in his sphere of responsibility, in the sphere of his will, in the sphere of his creative energy. This could be telling us that he, the Son, conceived the universe. He is the architect. Now, if that's not what this is saying, if all of that should be ascribed to the Father then rather than to the Son, it's still an amazing statement if we're talking about agency by Him rather than location or sphere through Him or in Him. In Him, rather, not through Him. But it probably, this the simple Greek preposition, en, in, it probably is referring here to sphere. And tells us that He is the one who, in whose mind, all of the universe was designed, and then, by His creative power, was brought into being. Whoa. He conceived all the laws which guide creation. We call these the laws of nature, laws of science, or whatever. In His mind was conceived all the purposes for which creation was brought into existence. This phrase draws our mind back to the beginning. Back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the universe. And this is telling us that in the beginning, He's the one who did that. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. You want to know why He is the firstborn, that is the highest ranking over all creation? Because He created it, He made it, and very likely, even before that, He conceived it, He designed it. He is the architect as well as the builder of creation. He is the agent of creation. Through Him, we read in the last part of verse 16, all things were created through Him. Not only the architect, but the builder. Through His power and ability, Jesus is the creator of the universe. Jesus is not created, but creator. And there's a vast gap between those two. Everything in this universe is either created or creator. All of us are created. We are part of creation, part of the material universe. But there is one who is creator, who Himself is not created. He is eternal. He had no beginning. He was never created. He has always existed. And He is the one who brought everything else into existence. If you list in categories everything in the universe, and on one side of the column you put the things that are uncreated, and on the other side of the column the things that are created, you'll have an endless list on the created side. You couldn't possibly have enough paper or time to list everything that goes into that category. And on the other side, you'll just have, well, at the most three things. If you want to break the triune Godhead down into the three persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then that's it. That's everything in this universe that is uncreated. But though the list is short on that part, in that category of what exists, the value weighs more heavily on that side of the equation. Creator is greater than creation. And this is speaking about who Jesus Christ is. Let us bow down and worship Him. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.